The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 14, Texts Number 30 through 33, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 2nd, 2016, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Saramsi. Puskara Adani Chetrani Arta, rather Arha Ashvitani Uta Kurukshetram Gayashira Prayag Pulaha Ashrama Naimisham Palgunam Setubandha Prabhasa Atta Kusha Stali Varanasi Madhupuri Pampa Bindusara Tata Narayana Ashrama Nanda Sitarama Ashrama Adaya Sarve Kulachala Rajan Mahendra Malaya Adaya Ete Funya Tama Ete, let's see, Desha Hare Archa Ashrita Cha Ye Etan Deshan Nisheveta Shreya Kama He Abhikshnasha Dharma Hi Atra Ihita Pumsam Sahasra Adhi Pala Udhaya Saramsi Pushakara. Let me get my flashlight in. Can read a little bit. Pushkaradini Sarangsi Pushkaradini Chetranarhishratanyuta Kuruchetram Gayashira Prayaga Pulahashrama Sarangsi Pushkaradini Chetranyar Hashishanyuta Kuruchetram Gayashira Prayaga Pulahashrama.
So, as we were reading in this purport, 1,000 times benefit any devotional service done here in the ISKCON Center. This is why we want to have an ISKCON center in every town and every village. Actually, in every neighborhood. So everybody can easily go for Mangalarti. Every householder in the whole world can go for Mangalarti to the temple. That's how expansive we want our movement to grow, you see. That everybody can go to their neighborhood temple for Mangalarti. Not that you have to drive for 2 hours to go to Mangalarti. You see. You know, 5 minutes. 10 minutes to Mangalarti. Mangal Arati is very, very powerful. I was trained as a brahmachari. You go to Mangal Arati every day, that's it. Actually, Prabhupada one time said, if you miss Mangal Arati, you should fast until you sell a Krishna book. That's the penance for missing Mangal Arati. You have to fast until you sell a Krishna book. So we had an equipment bus, and I was traveling with Vishnu John Swami. It was our bus, yeah. We just had one bus at that time. And somebody had to guard the bus at night, so I slept on the bus. And, the Brahmacharya Ashram, everybody's waking up, the lights go on, and you can't oversleep in the Brahmacharya Ashram because everybody else is up, and they're turning on the lights, and, come on, Prabhu, But on the bus, all alone, I overslept. He didn't hear my alarm, and that was it. So I missed Mangal Arati, so I had to fast until I saw the Krishna book, and that was the penance. And I did that. I took my Krishna book in one hand and my breakfast plate in the other, and I went on in Sankirtan. Sold my Krishna book, and I took my Vishadam. So I was trained in Mangal Arati. You go to Mangal Arati every day without fail. Otherwise, you're just cutting your throat, basically. So then, after 14 years of being a brahmachari and following that rigidly, I got married, you see. And our temple, in Dallas, it used to be all the householders lived in the temple. I don't know, formerly in ISKCON, the householders also lived in the temple. And there was one economy, and the ladies would go to the temple treasury to get diaper money for their babies. And it wasn't so practical in the long run, you see. So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, okay, now we're going to change it. Now the householders should support ISKCON instead of being supported by ISKCON. They should go out and get jobs, and they make money, and they support the temple. So I got married just at the time when the transition was coming in, so I became a dutiful. All right, I went to computer school. I learned a few languages, got a job, computer job. And my first job was the hours from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. Mangal Arati. Oh, no. Mangal Arati. What can I do? So when I put it into the job, the boss said, well, nobody likes to work this night shift, so we don't mind if you take an extra long lunch break. Aha! So at 4 o'clock, I headed out from the workplace. I went to the apartment, picked up my good wife, went to the temple, Mangal Arati. 5 o'clock, I headed back to the job. So I went to Mangal Arati every day, you see. Even when I was working the 11 till 8 shift. And then I caught the end of Bhagavatam class. The last 10 minutes of Bhagavatam class I caught after I got off work, you see. So in this way, you see, one should take advantage of the temple. Even working a job 11 to 8, I made sure I went to the temple for Mangal Arati, you see. Because there's a lot of power, there's a lot of Shakti, 1,000 times, you see. Just imagine if there was some investment, you can invest your money and get 1,000 times return on it. It'd be the most popular investment in the whole world. You put in $1, you invest $1 for a year, at the end of the year it's 1,000. Wow. And then the second year you invest your 1,000 and it's 1,000,000 at the end of the year. And then you invest your 1,000,000, by the end of the second year you're a billionaire, just from $1. Can you imagine? What an amazing investment that would be. You can turn, with $1, you can become a billionaire in 2 years. Is it 1? Yeah. 3 years, yeah. 3 years. 3 years to becoming a billionaire. Wow, just from $1. What is big if you had $2 or $5 invested, you see? So just see how powerful is Krishna consciousness. And what about 40 years of practicing Krishna? What about, you know, 5 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, or 40 years, or 50 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, you see. Taking advantage of ISKCON, not trying to do it separately. We as Sun devotees try to go separately from ISKCON. It's crazy. It's just crazy. They try to be Krishna conscious outside of ISKCON. They invent their own new ISKCON, you see. Yes, we are the real ISKCON, and you aren't. You see. It's crazy. They don't get the 1,000 times potency. You see, they don't get it. You see. Someone wants to be Krishna conscious in their own way. I don't want to follow guru, I just do it in my own way. Well, good luck. Good luck. You see. Actually, without guru, you are nowhere. You're absolutely nowhere. Prabhupada compares it to dog. There's two types of dogs I've seen in India, very graphically. You go to Vrindavan, you see the street dogs. Who's seen the street dogs in Vrindavan? Oh, aren't they pitiful? They're poor little creatures. Their hair has fallen off. They have dog fights. They have wounds all their body from the fights with the other dogs. Pitiful little creatures. Oh, it's pitiful. And yet, how many of you have gone to Juhu Beach and walked on Juhu Beach where Prabhupada took his morning walks? Anybody? You seen the dogs there? Walking with the masters, the millionaires coming out of their penthouse apartments, coming down with their fancy dogs and walking with them on the beach. Those dogs are stout and strong, jolly dogs, you see. The dog with master, he's a jolly, jolly dog. The dog without master, oh, it's a horrible position. So, a devotee who has a guru, he's like the dog with the master. Someone who tries to be a devotee without a guru, like a street dog, is it? So don't be a street dog. You become dog, like a Juhu Beach dog with master, you see. And then you become very jolly. You become potent, full of power and potency, you see. You Krishna Shakti. And your guru gives you, the guru has Krishna Shakti, and he gives you Krishna. You also become the possessor of Krishna Shakti by plugging into the Guru Parampara system. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktista te janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. This is stated by Krishna himself in the Adi Purana. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, he's not my devotee. You may go, what? How can Krishna say the one who is my devotee is not my devotee? What is Krishna talking about here? The one who is my devotee is not my devotee? How is that possible? And Krishna elaborates, he says, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, you want to be devoted to Krishna, you better come in under the lotus feet of the spiritual master, you see. Don't come in separately. Because who are you? I don't recognize you as a devotee. Get out. You want to come in without coming under the shelter of a guru? Get out. I don't recognize you, you see. But the one who comes under a spiritual master, you see. They sometimes say, it's not what you know, but who you know. Spiritual master gets you into Krishna's association. Spiritual master has an inside connection, and he gets you an inside connection. Someone should take advantage of the Guru Parampara system coming down since time immemorial. This is how we connect with Krishna through the bona fide spiritual master. The medium of guru is our connecting link with Krishna. And it's very sublime process. We simply have to please our spiritual master. Very, very sublime process. They tell me that when I moved into the ashram, you got to please Srila Prabhupada. I said, well, how do I please him? He's not even here. I don't see him. You know, how do I please him? I was wondering, well, how can I please him? But then I heard the There was one prayer, Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Svadana Triptan Hari. By taking prasadam, you please the spiritual master. Ah, I can handle this. By taking prasadam, instead of eating unoffered food, you see, you eat offered food. The spiritual master sees you're eating prasadam and not eating bhoga, food that's not offered. Bhoga means sense enjoyment. So if you eat bhoga, food that's not offered, that's sin. If you eat prasadam literally means mercy, the mercy of... That food is called prasadam, because it's the mercy of Krishna. You see, when it's offered to Krishna, it becomes, by his mercy, accepts it, and then that food itself becomes transformed into Krishna's mercy, and by eating it, you receive the mercy of Krishna. So, I realized, well, this is actually something I can handle, because I like prasadam. It's very, very delightful to take prasadam, and just by taking prasadam, I complete the spiritual master. You see. So, it's not a difficult process. You just have to be humble and take it exactly as Prabhupada is giving it. Some people want to invent some new idea, you know, like, you know, these are, you know, we shouldn't wear this clothing and people think we're weird, you know, we shouldn't dress like this. But Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada told us and there's one the media interviewed him in the airport, and the reporter said, Swamiji, why do you ask your followers to play drums in the streets and dress for what in the West is such an odd fashion? Prabhupada said, that is our preaching method, to somehow or other remind, that is your pre, he said, so that you will know that we are Hare Krishna people. Yeah. And we see it's very effective, dressing in devotional clothing. It reminds people of Krishna. Even when you come, we arrived the other day here in Denmark. We came to the little passport control window, you know. She said, oh, you're Hare Krishnas. Instead of the official thing, you know. Are you a terrorist? Look at you real carefully. Are you a terrorist trying to sneak in and blow us up, you know? That was left aside and said, oh, you're Hare Krishnas. She became soft and she just became a person. She instead of being the customs official, she was just a friendly young lady. Oh, you're Hare Krishnas. Because she saw the dress, you see. The tilak, the dhoti, the sari, you see. This is powerful stuff that Papa has given us. Actually, you go to any place. I mean, let's use a really gross example, McDonald's hamburgers. They have their McDonald's uniform, so you recognize, oh, here's one of the McDonald's people. I can complain about my hamburger. Pretty gross example, but it's the point. So you can recognize by the uniform. So Prabhupada has given us these uniforms, you see, Vaishnava dress. And it actually is beneficial for our propaganda work. Of course, we can also go undercover for distributing books if that's more effective. That's Prabhupada authorized that too. Even Maharaj Prataparudra went undercover to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So because Lord Chaitanya said, I will not meet with the king. So he took off his kingly dress and dressed as a humble devotee and was able to get the darshan. It was a leela. But. So sometimes we can, for book distribution, or if there's some need, we can, it's like when I cross the Russian border and I have to wear pants, otherwise they don't let me in. One time I went in a dhoti and they put me in some office. They wouldn't let me cross the end of the country. They just put me in some office. Didn't know what to do with me. Till finally one of the Russian devotees talked to him on the phone and said, oh, his wife is an Indian, so he dresses like them. Said, oh, okay, let him go. They couldn't figure out what to do with me. He said, sometimes we have to go undercover. I wear pants when I cross the border now into Russia. But what Prabhupada has given us is very powerful, it's very potent. The temples, the life's, the diet, the dress style, the hairstyle, the tilak, the neck beads, the whole thing is a whole, it's not just some whimsical thing, it's a scientific process. Just like when you make banana bread, you see, there's a recipe. It's not just, not that they just whimsically threw some stuff in the cookbook. They tested it. They see what makes it a very nice banana bread. What ingredients are good, what are not good. They put a recipe there. There's a reason for it. Every ingredient has a recipe, a reason for being there, you see. So Prabhupada has given us this ISKCON. It's a whole total recipe. You know, the dress style, the diet, the moral principles, the four regulated principles, the temple, the deity worship. He's given us a whole system. It's like a tremendous recipe how you can cook up pure love of God within your heart and how you can revolutionize the world society to bring it out of its chaotic condition. It's a formula. Now, if you want to go in and change the formula, you see, you lose the potency. You want to go in and change your recipe. I don't feel like putting in baking powder. Well, you're going to get some goo in the bottom of the pan, you see. So one has to follow the previous acharyas. You have to follow the previous acharyas. Prabhupada told us to work together cooperatively under the GBC, the Governing Body Commission. He said that they collectively represent him. Not individually, but collectively, they actually represent him. They're his manifestation. So we have to respect that principle. Some devotees want to criticize the GBC. They don't want to honor the GBC or work under the direction of the GBC. They're foolish. They don't realize they're cutting themselves off from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. They want to go out and form their own separate organizations. It's foolishness. Completely foolish. We have to stick with the society that Prabhupada has given us, because this is where Prabhupada is present. This is where we get the thousand times potency. Anything you do within ISKCON, you see, any ISKCON activities is thousand times. If you're going out for preaching, that's also ISKCON. That's as good as being in the temple. If you go out for preaching, anything you do within ISKCON is magnified a thousand times. Even if you're traveling and preaching, you see. Whatever you're doing, you stay within ISKCON and work within the structure that Prabhupada has given us. You get a thousand times potency for all your devotional activities. So devotees who leave ISKCON, they don't understand how foolish they are. They don't understand how foolish they are, you see. A thousand times potency just by staying here and supporting this movement, helping to spread this movement, serving this movement. It's an unparalleled opportunity, you see, how one can quickly achieve the perfection of pure love of God. In previous ages, they would spend tens of thousands of years to become spiritually perfect. In the Satya Yuga, 60,000 years it took Valmiki to become perfect by the mystic yoga system. 60,000 years, you see. We can become perfect in a mere 60 years. Just follow this process very seriously for 60 years, you see. 60 years, it's nothing. 60 years is nothing. Just put in 60 years very devotedly, you know. 60 years. Make a 60-year commitment, you see. And I will fully surrender to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada for the rest of my life, you see. 60 years, maybe 50, whatever you have. Put in your whole life, this one lifetime, I'm going to give completely to Guru and Krishna. You see. Remember when I first joined, Vishnudhan Swami had given a very nice instruction. He said, you've spent so many lifetimes serving wife and children, and where has it gotten you? You give this one lifetime to serving Guru and Krishna. You see. I mean, you can try it. We've tried everything. Why not make an experiment? Say, okay, this one life I'm giving exclusively to Guru and Krishna, and I'm going to see what the result is from having done that, you see. You've served wife and family for billions and billions of lifetimes. And where has it gotten you? Another rotting body, isn't it? Another rotting body. So make an experiment. One life, just as an experiment. If you don't like it, you can go back to serving wife and family again. Birth after birth after birth. But for one life, just say, oh, this life is exclusively dedicated to Guru and Krishna. Exclusively. Wife is accepted within, but within that context, not separately. You see. Or husband, from your perspective. This life is fully for Guru and Krishna. And I'm going to see what the result I get from doing that, and see if I like it better than what I've been getting from serving wife and family, or husband and family, for all these millions of lifetimes. You see? Make that experiment. See what the result is, and see what, if you don't like it better. And it is stated in the CC, if you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. Strikingly wonderful. You see? Not just, you know, kind of wonderful, but strikingly wonderful. And it's, in other words, it's dazzlingly wonderful. You see? It's absolutely stupendously, dazzlingly, strikingly wonderful if you actually take up this process as it is coming from Prabhupada. So many devotees, they want to try their own, do it their own way. They don't want to be a part of ISKCON. They're just cheating themselves. They're foolishly cheating themselves out of the nectar. You see? Foolishly cheating themselves. Stick with the system given by Srila Prabhupada, and I guarantee you, you will directly meet Krishna face to face very soon. You stick with what Prabhupada has given. So, we have 5 minutes over time. Oh my goodness, sorry. But let's take a few questions off the internet and see what's come in. There's now come questions, just a comment, that McDonald's credo is communication, cooperation, and coordination. That's what they tell their employees. So yeah, that's a good one. We can adopt that. ISKCON should become more successful than McDonald's, at least. They have a very good motto, communication, cooperation, and coordination. If we make that, maybe we should post that somewhere in the temple, you know. To please Prabhupada, we want good communication, complete cooperation, and total coordination. It's a nice motto. Any questions from you all? Yes, Prabhu?
You are saying that Prabhupada also wrote that when whatever we are doing the temple on the ISKCON is magnified 1,000 times. So it seems like it's not different from the Vrindavan.
I mean, what is he saying?
He's asking, you get 1,000 times benefit from being in the Krishna, in the ISKCON center. And also stated that you get 1,000 times benefit from being in Vrindavan. So is it the same?
Yes. Being in the ISKCON centers are not different from Vrindavan, yes. You don't need to go to Vrindavan. You can come right. You come right here, you're already in Vrindavan. However, Prabhupada is living in Vrindavan at every minute. Wherever Prabhupada is present, that is Vrindavan. Prabhupada is present, this is Vrindavan. You don't need to go to Vrindavan to go to Vrindavan. You come to Vrindavan right here in Copenhagen. This is Vrindavan. It's the same principle. 1,000 times benefit. Yeah, same principle. And if you go to ISKCON Vrindavan, that's 1,000,000 times benefit. 1,000 times 1,000. Yes.
I just repeat. Yeah. Okay, he didn't finish the question yet, but to begin with, we used to live much longer in different yogas.
That's right.
And there was different systems of yoga.
Yeah, there's different systems of yoga for different ages, yeah, according to lifespan, yeah.
But if I mention to someone that this type of yoga isn't especially fit for this age we're living in, because we are living way shorter of life, then they will maybe say, well, the scientists are saying we are living longer lives than we used to.
Who says we're living longer lives?
Well,
science?
Modern scientists, they are claiming that the lifespan is increasing.
Oh, really?
When he argues...
Really, that's interesting, because in the... So there's some people living to be 1,000? What are they? Mr. Scientist, you say that the lifespan is now increasing, but previously people lived to be 100,000 years old, so... Show me how somebody who's living to be 100,000 years old right now here, or even 1,000 will take somebody who's 1,000 years old. Where do you have somebody? Well, surely with all of our science, people will, you know, we haven't gotten there yet, but I'm sure that by science we'll have people living to be 100,000. Just wait 100,000 years and I'm sure you'll see somebody's 100,000 years old. You see? Prabhupada says, trust no future however pleasant. They may claim, they actually claim they're going to give us eternal life in this body. The scientists are claiming they're going to give us eternal life in these bodies. Just give us a few more $1 million for our research laboratory, so you know I can pay for my new Mercedes, of course, on the side. And we're going to give you eternal life in this body. You just got to keep pumping the money into our bank accounts, and we will definitely give you eternal life in these bodies. And just now, it's coming soon in a theater near you. You see? So yeah, it may be up a few years from where it was 100 years ago, but that's nothing. We're talking about, they don't realize that people live to be 1,000 in the Dvapara Yuga, and they live to be 10,000 in the Treta Yuga, and 100,000 in the Satya Yuga. They think that's just a bunch of religious poppycock, you know, some just false, make-believe stories from the scriptures, but it's scientifically fine. People live to be 100,000 in Satya Yuga, live to be 10,000 in the Dvapara Yuga, 1,000. Even in the Bible, talks about Methuselah lived to be 1,000 years old in the Old Testament. And that's actually somebody from the Dvapara Yuga. You see?
Just a follow-up question.
Yeah. They do yoga and reject scripture?
Yeah,
they're doing it for health.
Yeah.
But that means they're totally on the bodily level.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like yoga is meant to bring you out of the bodily conception, to take you beyond the bodily conception. And they're just, by yoga, they're just increasing their bodily consciousness. It's a total misapplication of yoga. It's very popular now. There's millions of people. There's a huge multi-billion dollar industry now. The yoga studios everywhere. How many do they have in Copenhagen? I mean, they're everywhere. The yoga studios.
Hundreds?
Probably
thousands. Every student has.
They're everywhere. I mean, everybody comes up with their new name also. It'd be different. Well, there's Dharma Yoga in Austin. They call themselves Yoga Yoga. You know, everybody has to come over there. We have the best brand of yoga, you know. We're this type of yoga. Everyone invents their new name. That our yoga is the best. We are Dharma Yoga. We're better than the other yogis. Or we are Yoga Yoga. We're better. Or we're this yoga. It's all just marketing. It's just marketing. They don't realize what is real yoga. Yoga means union with the divine. And with any system that connects you with God, that is actual yoga. The English word yoke is an etymological derivation from the Sanskrit word yoga. So the yoke connects the bull with the plow, you see. The yoke is that, the yoga is what yokes you with the Supreme. You become, through yoga, if you're actually yoking with the Supreme, then you're a true yogi. If you're connecting with the Supreme, then you're actually practicing genuine yoga. But this is a shadow of yoga. It's not real yoga what they're doing. It's a shadow. And even on the physical level, what they're doing is nothing compared to the yogis in the Himalayas. If an actual yogi Someone who's really doing yoga as it's really taught in the Vedas, they will develop mystic powers. Mystic powers. There's eight types of mystic perfections yogis develop. They can become smaller than the smallest. You can't lock them in a prison. They can actually come out through the pores of the wall. They can go through the pores in the wall. The bricks have small, if you go small enough, there's little pores in the bricks. You could put them in a solid brick prison, a yogi, and he can come right through the wall and escape the prison, you see. A real yogi, it's called anima siddhi. They become smaller than the smallest. There's lagamya siddhi. They can become heavier than the head. They can become lighter than the lightest. That's how yogis can, a genuine yogi can walk on water. You see. Christ learned from the yogis in India. That's how he walked on water. So, lagamya siddhi, to become lighter as air, you know. That's one of the other siddhis. So, if they have the siddhis, yes, they're yogis. If they don't have siddhis, they're bogies. Bogi means sense enjoyer. Bhogi. Bhogi. Instead of yogi. Instead of yogi, they're bhogi.